Here, you don't mention at the voting if the associate members have the right to vote in the General Assembly.
No, it's quite clearly stated that the members of associate congregations do not have the right to vote in the General Assembly. They are not members of congregations of the church. And the only people who have the right to vote in the General Assembly would be people who are members of one of the member congregations. And currently that's the German-speaking and the English-speaking congregation.
We have associate members who are not in an associated congregation.
Okay, this is not to be confused. There's an associate congregation, which we don't have yet, but this would allow for that. So say, for example, the Swedish congregation decides they want to be an associate. So they would then have the right to designate one member on the church council who would not have a vote, but would have voice in the church council. But the members of the Swedish-speaking congregation, if they should decide to do this, would not have the right to even to have voice at a General Assembly. Because they're not members of a full member congregation. Now, in our English-speaking congregation, we have several types of individual membership here, including an associate membership, which means that an individual who wants to maintain membership in another church can do that, but they can still participate fully in the life of this congregation as an associate member. And our congregation's constitution explains that the associate members have all the rights and privileges of a full member, except that I think the only difference is that for an associate member of our congregation, that when they leave the area, their membership lapses. So.
Well, the Swedish congregation was one of the founders of this church.
Yes.
So they had the right to say something also.
Yeah. Well, they did, but then they chose to withdraw from the church when they did the reorganization of the Swedish church in Switzerland.
We didn't hear, or at least I never heard, that they don't belong to the congregation anymore, to the church anymore.
Well, that happened a few years ago.
Yeah, but
not that long.
In silence.
Well, they sent a letter to the church council, and so.
And it stopped there. Okay.
And we acknowledged it, and I think it was actually effective only by the end of last year, their withdrawal.
Yeah.
Then, if I understand well, it's not necessary that somebody should be a member for 6 months minimum.
Correct.
I don't think that's right. Mm. It takes some time to get to know the church, to get to know the working of everything and so on. I wouldn't like to be represented by somebody who has been here for a month or two.
Yeah, well, I guess here the decision was, or the recommendation was, that currently our rule in the English-speaking congregation is that once someone becomes a member of the congregation, they can already vote in any assembly or
they
anything.
They can usher, and they can wash the dishes afterwards, but I don't think that they should represent the congregation in the church council.
Well,
that's
what I do. Well. Yeah, so we have Pastor first, and then have Martin, and then John.
Just a second.
I just wanted to say there might be a misunderstanding.
Let's use the microphone, please.
Sorry.
Okay, I didn't finish.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, I don't want to interrupt you, Ms. Schaaf. There's...
Do you want to...
No, it's not to this subject.
I just thought maybe there was a misunderstanding. I don't think this was talking about who represents one congregation at the church council level. I think it would be unusual for somebody who's a brand new member to be suggested for that post. I mean, it's not that it would be prohibited by this, but this was speaking about rights to vote at an assembly with all the other members, right?
Right.
That's, so not about who would be representing us at the church council level. I think this wouldn't preclude somebody being a brand new member doing that, but it also wouldn't, yeah, be likely, I think.
Okay. John or Martin, did you want to respond to this particular point or on another issue?
Yeah, I was going to raise this anyway. I grew up in a church that was extreme congregationalist in polity. Every church was on its own. And it was explained to me that the requirement of 6 months was to prevent packing in meetings when there's a fight in the church. You laugh, but churches do have fights. No. And I would also add that that kind of church had no membership roles, so that certainly played into why they did it that way. But I think it might be worth giving some attention to the question of making sure that we don't have sort of a sudden surge in membership under conditions like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, I'm told that as part of the history of our church, that that's exactly why the provision was put in long ago, was because during the Nazi time, there was an attempt to try to pack the membership, then the German, you know, the church was then only the German-speaking congregation, but there was an attempt to try to pack the voting so that this church would become part of the German Christians or the Deutsche Christen, but that move failed. So, yeah. Others to this point before we get back to, yeah, John?
Yes, I have a question about what level of funding would be needed from each church each year toward the maintenance of the building. Mm-hmm. Can we get some idea how much there should be in each budget?
Okay.
Per year.
Okay, we can we'll get that. We can, I guess, respond to that quickly. Then we'll get back to Emisha for Emisha's other points. But we have our treasurer here. I don't know. Do you want to respond to that, Sarah?
No, but I think we should first of all finish with the question
with
from
okay.
Emisha.
Okay, so we'll park that question then and come back to Emisha.
Not new questions, just also to give somehow the opinion of the Church Council on this question of packing also. First of all, Raleigh already said we don't have this rule in our congregation, so why should we include it then in the Church Council for the General Assembly when we allow people who are quite fresh in the congregation to vote in the English-speaking congregation? And I would say if we think about those risks, perhaps we should rather think of them on the level of the constitution, of the congregations, because if you want to become a member of the General Assembly, you must be a member of a congregation. So first of all, if ever there is an effort to somehow, change the line of the church, first of all, you would need to bring many people together for one congregation. So there's a kind of filter for the church General Assembly. It takes actually several months to build that up, invitation and all that. So I don't think that there is any risk because if there is, let's say, Nazi Germany racists who want to somehow run our church, by that they would first of all have to apply for the congregations, and then every new member of a congregation is adopted by the respective congregation council. So I think it's quite far-fetched to imagine that there could something happen in this way, and I'm opting rather for flexibility, and I think we could also say on the other way around, it would be somehow unjust. Someone comes here, wants to engage in the church, and to tell him, well, unfortunately, you have just arrived 1 month too late to have the right to vote. So I think we should, if we say they can wash our dishes, they can also should also have the right to vote with us. So, of course, it's a kind of you have to weigh, but I think especially the question of flexibility seems to work for me in the sense of this changed provision. Claire?
I think the comment was more about representation on the council. Would it possible to say that there's voting privileges for the General Assembly, since, as you say, there's already a delay between the not very frequent General Assemblies, but that a council member to be elected needs to have been a member in the congregation for 6 months. That way, there's not a problem if somebody doesn't know the congregation before they...
Right. I think normally that, you know, would be wise, but I would also argue along with Friedrich to allow for flexibility there for different circumstances. And my own case was one where I came back to this church in 2010 and within less than a year was elected to chair the congregational committee and serve on the church council. And
it,
so although I was, in one sense, a newcomer, I was also one who had a long history with the church and also, you know, so anyway. Back to Emesha.
Can I comment on the bylaws?
Please.
Yes. So here, this, the new name, I cannot accept that.
She's talking about...
Église protestante luthérienne. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
It is, first of all, if we belong to the BELC, which is the association of all the Lutheran churches in Switzerland and Luxembourg, or Liechtenstein, excuse me, they are all evangelical Lutheran congregations. Why would we be different? I don't think that we as Église protestante luthérienne, we should be members of BELC then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because this is, it's Protestant, that's yeah. The national church.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a debate that took place in the church council several years ago. At that point, the church council ended up deciding to use this name in French. The name was not changed in English or in German, and there's no proposal to remove the word evangelical in English or evangelische in German, but it was felt that in current French usage that the word evangélique has become so much identified with the so-called, what in German would be evangelical, that it was actually hindering some of our ecumenical relationships here in Geneva to be described that way. And as a matter of practice now, for the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, I think our church has been using this name, Église Protestante Luthérienne, when we relate in French to others.